Well, praise the Lord. We are ready to go into the Word of God this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in again. And we're in a series called Having Faith in a Famine. How to Have Faith in a Famine. So here we are, almost 70 days into a pandemic worldwide. And I thought this would be some interesting information for you. We know that last week we talked about Joseph, who was able to cope during a confusing season in his life, and I hope it blessed you. Joseph's life always blesses me, helping us to prepare and have faith in a famine. Today, I wanted to look at the life of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, just turn there, verses 15 and 16, and we'll look at an incredible story of redemption, a love story named after Ruth, Esther, Ruth and Esther, two books of the Bible named after ladies. And it's a tragic opening in chapter 1, but there's a famine in Israel. And this talks about how a godly family was faithful through the hardship, stands in contrast with the moral decline of Israel during the time of the judges. So Ruth is placed right in there, powerful, powerful text to show us even if the whole world has gone chaotic, you can still have faith in a famine. So Ruth chapter 2, verse 15. I'll start in 14. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Do not embarrass her. Do not reprimand her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean and do not rebuke her." So here King Boaz, we'll get to him in a little bit. Powerful story. He's our kinsman redeemer, our type of Christ in the story. Ruth is a Gentile Moabite woman who comes into the story. It's a powerful, powerful illustration of God's intervention in Israel as even they are in the middle of a famine. So I hope you enjoy this today. Open your hearts to receive from the Lord, and let's see what we can learn. Finding faith in a famine. Now, we know that human adversity becomes God's opportunity. That's the whole point. So we just want to give you the whole point here in the beginning and then share this narrative, this story, to help you understand on this Memorial Day. Our nation is dealing, like I said, with a crisis that has no answers. And here we find ourselves just wrestling and trying to figure out all the different details of what's going on. How do we cope in a famine? It came to Bethlehem in Judea. Famine in the house of bread. Bethlehem is called the house of bread. And there's no bread. There's no praise. Bethlehem in Judah. There's no bread, Bethlehem, and there's no praise, Judah. And so I don't know if you've ever been there, if you ever come to a place in your life where it seemed like a famine. There's no praise. You're just discouraged by what's going on in your life. But this family, this husband named Elimelech, his name means God is my king. I want you to keep that in mind. Was married to a lady named Naomi. Her name means pleasant or sweet. Elimelech and Naomi. And they had two sons and all was great until the famine hit. Everything was okay until the famine hit. And when famine comes, we need wisdom. And that's the point of this series. And I hope that you can take in some notes today to help you make right choices. This man, Elimelech, chose to leave Israel for Moab. Big mistake, seems like. Upon arriving, it appears Elimelech dies, leaves two sons with Naomi. Now, let me just give you my main point from the outset. Famines come to all nations, even to ours. And I tell you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be ready. You need to be ready. As Joseph was prepared in Egypt to take care of Israel, Jacob and his brothers, everyone in Israel and all the other nations of the world, God raised up Joseph last week, we talked about, to be ready in the middle of the famine. I think as well, We need to be ready. So famines come to all nations, but we don't give way to the famine. We don't give in. We don't allow the hardships of our life to ruin the dreams that God placed in our spirit. So we need to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So famine or no famine, we should hang in there. Yet Elimelech, in our story today, he packs up and he leaves the house of bread, and he left the will of the Lord seemingly just because of temporary famine. Can I just tell you that famines don't last forever? Oak Grove, listen carefully. If you're in a hard place, just remember it won't last forever. Elimelech allowed some things to happen in his own life. He leaves the will of the Lord because of a temporary famine. And look at this. What went wrong in his life? Number one, he gave in to his feelings. Can I tell you that when you're in the middle of a famine, your feelings can take the place of your faith? Fear actually can take place of your faith too. So fear sets itself up against faith. And the enemy of faith is famine. In a famine is to give in to your senses. His eyes were seeing death all around him. His ears were hearing the cries of hungry children. Maybe his nostrils were smelling death all around him. And I got to tell you, Oak Grove, listen carefully. Never make decisions based upon your feelings alone. Okay? And hardships come to all of us. Famine hits every nation. And I don't know if you're hearing me today, but have you ever come to a place where you felt like looking for greener pastures? That you look around and maybe compare and somebody else has got it better than you. Listen carefully. The grass is not greener on the other side. If it is, it's possible that it's over a septic tank. So take a good look, right? And many people say, I'm moving to Canada because the U.S. doesn't have good medical. Really? Well, I hope you don't want an emergency procedure because that good medical could take you a long time to get it done. It's not greener on the other side. You know, but that's what happens. Our feelings get in the way. How you feel it at the moment doesn't necessitate a major move. But anyway, Elimelech walks by sight, not by faith. And your senses can mess with your salvation. I don't know if you heard that, if you've taken notes, if you want to tweet it. Your senses can mess with your salvation. And so he left Bethlehem. And before you leave where you are, make sure you know where you're going. He headed from Bethel, he headed to Moab, Egypt, to the place, a worldly place. And he made a move based upon his feelings. So I don't know if he lost his faith, but he sure lost his way there. And secondly, he lost his patience. He said, we're leaving now. He packed up, and man, I don't know how much he prayed about it, but he took off in the middle of a famine. I want you to see something. Other people, Israelites, stayed. They stayed during the famine. And later we'll see Boaz. He stayed and ended up being very blessed. So famine doesn't negate the fact that you can be blessed. But Elimelech decides to take off. There are 13 recorded famines, and not one of them lasted forever. Famines come, famines go. Storms come, and they pass. And it's important that you hold yourself together and keep yourself patient. Remember, your present problem will end soon. Satan makes you think it's going to last forever. And Abraham and Sarah, remember when they lost their patience? And they ended up trying to make another way, and they ended up with Ishmael. And to this day, we have issues with Ishmael. And so last week we said Joseph had a patient heart. That's how you have faith in a famine. Yeah, you have patience. And then thirdly, Elimelech lost his hope. Never give up hope in a famine, because in this life there will always be death. There will always be famines. It rains on the just and the unjust. So he leaves God's land and goes to Moab. But remember, your personal decisions don't just affect you. They affect your family. So he and Naomi raised two boys, and these boys were affected by his choice. Because these boys, as he sojourned, it means I think he planned to come back, but he ended up staying longer than he wanted to stay. 10 years in Moab, and Naomi's husband dies. The two boys, their names mean sick and piney. Okay, that's the two boys' names. They grew up and violated the word of God by marrying Moabite women. Okay, the word of God says do not marry outside of our people. And yet they pick up two Moabite women. So 10 years later, we have a husband, and now Naomi's two sons died. So now we have three widows. I know it's a quick turn. It's a narrative. It's a story. But I want you to stay with me because we're going to learn how to have faith in a famine. The one daughter-in-law's name was Orpah. Her name means stiff-necked. That's a wonderful name. And then Ruth, beautiful name, means beauty. Means beauty. And Naomi, of course, her name, we told you, means sweet and pleasant. But she turns bitter. Bitterness is set into Naomi's heart. Grief is an awful thing sometimes if you're not sure how to handle grief. You got to pray that the Holy Spirit would help you walk through seasons of famine or dark seasons or lonely times or tough times. You can get bitter in a famine if you're not careful. You can get bitter in the losses of life. Remember how Joseph kept a sweet spirit? That was one of the things we talked about last week. Well, Naomi's heart is bitter. And not only does she lose her husband, she loses her two boys. There are no grandsons. There are three funerals, and it's pretty sad times. And so she hears some good news. So we're going to twist again. Coming out of Bethlehem, the famine is over. I told you all famines end. All famines come to an end. If you don't get nothing else out of this message, please get that. All famines come to an end. So don't die in your dilemma. Don't lose heart. Don't give in. Don't give up. But of hearing the good news, the bread, there's fresh bread over in Bethlehem. The famine is over. Remember Amos the prophet, and I'll preach about that in a week or so. In Amos 8:11, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Who sent the famine on the land? Pretty interesting that sometimes famines come by the hand of the Lord to discipline the children of God. So the days of the judges, God was sending his word and sending famine to help them come back to Christ, back to God. And so he said, it's not going to be a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Boy, aren't we there today? Hearing the word of the Lord. And I hope that you're hearing this today. This is good news coming from the house of bread. The famine is ended, but Naomi is bitter and is carrying baggage that she got in Moab. Listen, if you're not careful, when you go through dark times and valley seasons, you can get bitter and then carry that after the season ends, you can carry that into the new place. And it's devastating, it's not only on you, but your whole family. So don't shoot me down just yet, because this is a beautiful story and God's sovereign intervention for Ruth is coming. Okay? So we understand that. But all Naomi has left is stiff neck and beauty. Orpah and Ruth. And so this is what it says. She says to her daughter-in-law, ladies, when a man dies in Israel, the relative can marry and take care of the widow. We can get a kinsman redeemer. We'll talk to you a little bit about that. But she says, I'm too old and no one will want me. So you go back to your land. You go back to your family. And I will go back to Israel. And Orpah said, you're right. I have no future with you. I'm going back. Kisses Naomi and goes back. And but while Orpah stepped back, Ruth stepped up. That's worth shouting about. Maybe I'll come up. Thumbs up, man. Ruth stepped up. And Ruth had a different spirit. There are some kissers in this life, and there's some clingers in this life. Not everybody's going to be with you, okay? And Orpah kissed and took off, but the Bible says Ruth clung on. And Ruth said, I'm clinging to you. Verse 14, Orpah kissed, but Ruth clung on, right? And then listen to the voice of a Ruth generation this morning. Verse 16, do not urge me to leave you, for where you go, I go, and where you lodge, I lodge. Hallelujah. Your people shall be my people. And this is a big one. This is a big one. Your God will be my God. Ruth is committed. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. And where they bury you, they'll bury me. And I just want to stop and shout right there. I don't know about you, but that is a committed heart. And I pray God raise up a Ruth generation that is committed, that will hold on and cling on, even in the middle of a famine. Ruth doesn't know where she's going. She don't know who she's going to. It's not her people. It's not her nation. It's not her God. Nevertheless, her love for Naomi made her decide to move on with her mother-in-law and be committed. So the famine is over and a Ruth generation is coming to Israel and God is opening up the country. Hey, good news. God is opening up America on this Memorial Day. We're excited about it. We're excited about it. Next week, we're going to be together in the house of the Lord. But a Gentile is coming into the kingdom. God is bringing Ruth along in the sovereignty and his goodness. Step aside, Orpah. Step aside, stiff-necked. Beauty is coming home. And a generation, a Ruth generation, is a committed generation. That sounds like a message for another day, but it's powerful. So now Naomi, sweet, pleasant, good Naomi, she left Bethlehem full, but she comes back to Israel broken, bitter. And she tells her friends that she meets there, call me Mara, or bitter. They never called her bitter. They always called her Naomi. They didn't know what she was talking about. But Elimelech was in the debt and Naomi is in depression, seems like. And they needed a kinsman redeemer, a goel. It's a person to marry and raise the family. So Ruth doesn't really know Boaz, doesn't know all about that. But Naomi does. Who is this kinsman redeemer to Naomi? He is the son of Salmon and his wife, Rahab. Do you remember her? Yeah, Boaz's mother is Rahab. Another incredible story we don't have time to go in, but God intervenes in the history of his life, Boaz, and brings him to the place where his mother serves God, the God of Israel, and now he's serving the God of Israel. So Boaz is a wealthy landowner of Bethlehem in Judea who knew. He knew how to thrive in a famine, evidently. He's a relative of Elimelech, doesn't say how, but the Bible says, Boaz noticed Ruth, the widowed Moabite daughter-in-law of Naomi, gleaning in his field. So, chapter 2, verse 2, I just want to insert this real quickly. In ascertaining the will of God, a lot of people get confused between personal responsibility and sovereignty of God. And I think it's both and, not either or. But Ruth says to Naomi, let me go in this field, verse 2 of chapter 2. And that is a personal direction. So she went. She went. She made a decision and she went. That is directive personally. And then in the same verse it says, and she happened to come to the field of Boaz. Hallelujah. Even in your going, not knowing, God sovereignly can get you where you need to be in the field of Boaz. That is divine sovereignty mixed with personal responsibility. So if you're trying to figure out where you're supposed to go, don't make hasty decisions in a famine. First of all, don't make those feelings impatiently or by your feelings. Don't make moves by your feelings or impatient. Don't make frivolous decisions. Pray, wait on the Lord, like we said last week. But sovereignly, God will work it all out, right? Boaz is a type of Jesus, our Redeemer. He's the one who means free of a thing. It means no debt. The one who pays the right price. Didn't Jesus do that for us? And the one who's able to and willing to redeem someone. That was Boaz. He's a king. And what a great day when she came into the field of Boaz. And Boaz was taken by Ruth. Wow. Naomi was bitter, but Ruth was optimistic. God is up to something and she's going to find a way in this new land and journey to see what God is going to do in her life. And she was showered with kindness because of her faithful gleaning and sweet, courteous spirit. The Word of God says she asked the leaders, the masters in the field, if she could. How kind. Not all gleaners, you know, the law was that that they would, for the poor, leave a little bit of grain behind as they were reaping the harvest so that those who are poor can have something to take home. But when Boaz noticed Ruth, he asked the servants, who is this woman? Who is this woman? And they began to tell Boaz Ruth's story, and he was taken by her commitment and service and kindness in the way she handled herself. And he said, "Stay in my field," he told Ruth. "Stay in my field. Don't go gleaning in another field. Keep your eyes on this field." Friends, that's a whole nother message, but that is so powerful. I don't have time to preach about the field of Boaz, but you need to hear me. Stay in the field of your Redeemer. There is a whole lot of people today who want to glean in another field, but yet they want to reap the blessings of Boaz, the king. And that is not a possibility, friends. You can't be going and flirting with disaster and gleaning from another worldly field and ask God's blessing from the king. So that's a whole nother day. If you want handfuls of blessing, you need to stay with King Jesus, right? Boaz, and let go of the world. So we get tired, yet we keep pursuing. We get wore out, yet we keep on going, and we don't lose our head. We don't lose our heart. We don't lose our hope. So Ruth goes on to marry Boaz, and they have a son named Obed. And wow, things began to turn. Obed has a son, you know, obviously, named Jesse. And Jesse has a son. His name is David. And it looks like God is sovereignly intervening in the affairs of Israel to come through this famine. It's always better after the famine. Famine is not fatal. Remember that last week? So here's a couple of things I want you to just to observe as we get this thing closed out on Memorial Day here. How do you have faith in a famine? Well, remember, our disappointments will ease up, okay? The country's going to open, Oak Grove, America. The country's going to open. It'll be all right. I'm not a politician, but I am a man of God who believes by faith that this too shall pass and we will back some sort of normalcy or something. I think we will get back and God will help us move forward in these times. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You will feel joy again. Be patient. Your wounds will heal. If somebody hurt you, if you're grieving, if you're confused, if you're away from God, God will find a way to get you where you need to be. You will laugh again. You will love again. You will live again. If you'll just be patient, hang in there. That's important that you remember that famines don't last forever. Number two, remember to get involved in your new season. Hey, not only did Ruth leave Moab and go to a place where she didn't know, it was a new day, and she did something. Don't just quit on life. Don't get out there and get deep, dark depression because everything's not going your way, right? You need to hang in there and glean in the field of Boaz. She got busy, right? She was faithful. She had a good spirit, and she started all over again. For Ruth, it meant going to new places and learning new things. And sometimes, my friend, when grief hits you and you're in the middle of a famine, sometimes you just sit around because you don't have anything to do or you're feeling like you don't want to do anything. I say get up and get moving in this crisis. It took, you know, it took its toll on a lot of people. But Naomi got very, very bitter, but Ruth kept a good spirit. So remember, famines can mess with your feelings, all right? But don't let the famine mess with you. Your salvation for sure and the will of God. But during this crisis, I was, you know, I am not one that quarantines really easy. I got a lot of energy and I want to do something. So I took a free course online, okay, on the Lord's Prayer. And I'm still in the middle of it online and I can learn and I can grow. You don't have to sit around and twiddle your thumbs and get depressed and eat chocolate like many of us did, still doing. But you can get up and move forward, be committed and do something in the crisis, right? And thirdly, you got to maintain your integrity. What was it about Ruth that really caught Boaz's attention? It was her spirit, her integrity, right? He says in verse 11 of chapter 2, "They told me all about you and how you blessed your mother-in-law after your husband died and how you left your family and your homeland and came to live in a place you didn't know with people you didn't know to be loyal to a God you didn't know." That's powerful. Ruth has a powerful testimony and her integrity. And may the Lord repay you for all that you've done is what Boaz told Ruth. So many times grief can take people into a horrible place of sin and even failure. You know, the devil traffics in dry places. And so you need to be aware, guard yourself against temptation during dark seasons. If you're hurting, do as Ruth did. Keep your integrity. Okay? Keep your integrity. And if it rains, it rains on the just and the unjust. But remember, if you're grieving, don't abandon your moral principles. Don't lose your convictions in the middle of a famine. Number four, don't give in to self-pity. Real quickly, Naomi got bitter. She gave in. And many people waddle around in misery and carry baggage forever. All of us should grieve. Listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't grieve. We all have losses. Take time. There's a proper process of grieving. But if you're grieving 20 years later about something that happened 20 years ago, friend, there's something out of alignment right there. You got to get that, put in its proper perspective, right? And so grieve, but there comes a time when God heals and we move forward in victory. Naomi lost her hope. Some people blame God for famines and blame God for everything. And it ends in disasters. That's a dead-end street. We should be more like Ruth in that aspect. In hope, we need to go for it. Glean what God has for you, because the king is leaving handfuls on purpose. How awesome is that story? Not only is he leaving handfuls on purpose, but he's leaving handfuls of purpose. And Ruth, Naomi gave up. I'm old. Nobody wants me. Nobody loves me. I think I'm going to eat some worms. Ruth says, I'm going forward. I'm going to find a purpose in my life. God has a plan for you. Self-pity is going to delay the blessings of God. It's harvest time, for goodness sakes. This is the time in the darkest hours the church should be shining the brightest. Don't lose hope in a famine, but have faith. Don't let your feelings get in the way. Don't let bitterness keep you from the blessing. Get it done and God will do his part. God doesn't miss anything, even in a famine. He's working it all out. Even in Moab, he's calling you back to the house of bread. Powerful. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears attentive to their prayers. So all of us have had valley experiences, but the Lord is still our shepherd and he walks with us and he talks with us. And finally today, I just want to tell you, if you want to have faith in a famine, like Ruth, you have to trust God to redeem your situation. I thank God that Naomi was able to lead Ruth. She did, a good mother-in-law, led her daughter-in-law to the place of bread, to the house of bread. She had enough sense to come back to the place of blessing. And many times people walk away from God, in a famine. But you can come and be redeemed. It's a powerful story. Redemption always wins, my friend. Redemption always wins. God's always redeeming your story. He's redeeming my story. And at first, Naomi couldn't see it all. Her bitterness blinded her blessing. Don't let your bitter days blind you from the days of blessing that are coming. Famines end and blessings will come to pass. You just got to hang in there. What a treasure God gave her in Ruth, right? Naomi didn't know what she had, but she had this daughter-in-law. And later her friend said to Naomi, having Ruth is better than having seven sons. So as I bring this to a close, Oak Grove, I just wanted to tell you that God works all things out for the good. So look at this. You already know that Ruth and Boaz had Obed, and Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David, king of Israel. And then 28 generations later, a little baby boy was born in Bethlehem named Jesus, our Redeemer. So Ruth's kinsman Redeemer has become our Redeemer through the same lineages, and God is faithful even in a famine. That's a powerful story. Naomi held Obed in her arms. All the brokenness turned into blessing. That, my friend, is how you have faith in a famine. How about you today? Are you struggling? Are you feeling like you're going through a famine? Is there something you lost seemingly in your situation? Are you just grieving? Faithless, finding yourself faithless in a famine? I tell you what, God withholds no good thing from those who trust in him. He can redeem anything. Redemption always wins, my friend. If you're in the middle of a crisis, you need to know how to have faith in a famine. And that means to hold on to your Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and pray and trust. Even Boaz came from a redeemed Rahab. So powerful. Timing of God is always perfect. And getting God's perspective in this life is major important. I don't know what box you're opening in your life right now and what it's labeled. But if it's labeled widow or divorce or cancer or laid off or financially in debt, infertile, abused, whatever. Whatever you're going through, you need to know that God is working things out. Don't let the famines of your past keep you bitter in your present. Don't think this is the end for you. There may be more in that box. Your story is still being written. God can change it. If you'll give God a chance this morning, God can change your story. Give Him time to work it all out. Today is Memorial Day. And I know that when God does some things, you can set up a memorial. Today could be the beginning of an incredible journey as Ruth. She just submitted to God, working toward her future, walking in the sovereignty of the plan of God without even knowing. So if you're here today and tuning in with us and you're contemplating giving your heart to Jesus, we would be so blessed to be able to pray with you about that. And as I close here in prayer, if you've given your heart to the Lord or you're wanting to walk in the ways of the Lord, today's the last day. Just put that on. Remember that God has a plan for you and He's redeeming your story. So whatever happened in your famine year, it's a new day. So set up a memorial, right? And say this prayer with us and receive Jesus into your heart. And maybe some of you are frustrated right now. You're going through a season and you're losing your way. You're losing hope. I pray that you find wisdom in this hour and that you don't let your present situation dictate your future glory. God has a plan for your life. So pray with us today, and we hope that you can have patience and watch God work it all out as He redeems your story. Father, we love You. I thank You, Lord. There are hard times. We're not making light of the fact that many people are suffering. And we often don't know the struggle that people are walking in personally, but we do know the One that is able to walk with them. So God, as we close out in prayer today, if there's somebody looking to give their heart to You, I pray with them that they would just surrender and trust you with all their heart on this Memorial Day, that they would be going into a new season. Famine will end and God's blessing will come. Lord, we just have to hold on to faith and trust, not let our feelings get in the way, that we don't become impatient during the famine, but that we hold on to hope, realizing that our Redeemer has everything figured out. So, Lord, I pray that You continue to bless Your people, help them to find hope and blessing as they keep marching forward, serving You with a great spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with us today and you gave your heart to Jesus or the Lord blessed you in any way, put a comment there in the comment box. Lord bless you, folks. Next week, we'll be coming in into the house of the Lord on the 31st. So we're looking forward to it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May His countenance go with you. And may He keep you in perfect peace. God bless you.